We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we hear from retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne, and on this episode of Retail Gets Real, we're highlighting some of our favorite moments from the podcast in 2021. From insights from the pandemic to visions of the future, we'll revisit some of our top moments of the year. Not only do these highlights represent some key topics for the industry over the past year, but they also represent the diversity of the industry, the large companies, the scrappy startups, and the focus on people that makes this industry so rewarding. We started 2021 by talking with retailers about some key learnings from the early pandemic days and those uncertain months. Here, we talk with Mall of America's Jill Renslow about what they experienced.
Yeah, it's crazy because I think it happened so fast for so many of us. And this was something that everybody was impacted at the same time. I mean, across the country, around the world, and to be able to shift gears quickly. And as soon as we closed the doors, literally that next question was, when can we reopen? And really shifting that mindset for our team of like, okay, now what do we need to do to prepare our building to make sure it's a safe environment and that whatever we need to layer in. And we really leaned on essential retail during that time frame that didn't need to close and really understand, okay, what did they quickly put in place that consumers are going to expect? And how do we level up from there because of the building that we are? For people that don't know, we're 5.5 million square feet. We are a destination of retail and entertainment right outside of Minneapolis and St. Paul in Bloomington, Minnesota. And we've been around for almost 30 years. And we've had our own challenges throughout the years with changes in the industry, changes in the marketplace, whatever that might be. But this was one element that we were all through it from an industry perspective going through together. So how could we collaborate and learn from each other? And like I was saying, essential retail, like learning and grabbing those different elements, whether it be signage or communication, education, what you had to do with your staff. So it was really a unique time of collaboration that we had never had before. And you had competitors working together to figure out how are we going to survive this and learn together to make sure that we can create a safe environment for people to feel okay to come back to.
We also saw a spirit of collaboration in bringing more options to customers. Here's Stuart Landesberg, co-founder and CEO of Grove Collaborative, sharing why the company partnered with Target to bring Grove Collaborative products to Target shelves.
So the second word in our name is collaborative, and it's collaborative because I really believe that the problems faced by our industry cannot be solved by any one company, any one person, anyone, anything, right? We all have to work together. You know, we benefit from everything from the U.S. Postal Service and UPS to the internet providers to the green chemistry work that's been done over the last 40, 50 years to make natural products efficacious. Like, we benefit from all the work that's been done before us, and our partners benefit from Grove, and we all have to work together to change the industry. Grove today is like, I don't know, less than 10% of the size of the Tide business, right? Like, we are a tiny, tiny company trying to change a massive industry. And, you know, on a relative basis, the companies that I look up for, we all have small market share. And so when I look out at the way the industry needs to change, I am encouraged to see like-minded companies working together. We actually lead a plastic-free working group with over 70 organizations, some of them bigger, some of them smaller. And we trade notes on how to reduce the plastic in our packaging. We don't keep our like plastic-free packaging stuff trade secret. We want everybody to use it. We think we're going to keep pushing the, you know, pushing the envelope and trying new stuff. But we want to make this sort of, we want plastic to seem weird, not like we're weird. So we really try to work together. And I think that extends to the retail partners. And I give Target a lot of credit for collaborating really closely with us on how we communicate to the guest that an assortment there, and our assortment there, for those who don't know, is a really differentiated one because it's a lot of chassis refill business models, right? Like kind of like razor blade, where instead of buying the handle and the blade every time, you just buy the blade. Right. And so for us, you know, you get a reusable glass spray bottle that you can reuse for 100 years And then you buy a teeny tiny concentrate, also plastic free. And that's really different than buying a big plastic bottle filled with mostly water. But you need to educate the consumer. And so we do a lot of that education through digital content. But we were grateful that we found a partner in Target who was willing to not just sort of take the product to market, but to invest in differentiated education. And I will say, I think the results for both us and for Target of that partnership have been exceptional.
Though the pandemic still drags on, the retail industry has bounced back and remains optimistic. Leaders are looking forward to the future of retail, not just in terms of what the shopping experience will be, but also what they stand for. Over the summer, we talked to Nordstrom's Gemma Leonello and Fanya Chandler about Nordstrom's commitment to diversity, inclusion, and belonging, and how the only future for retail is a more diverse one.
Well, it is the future of retail. If you want the future, you will be diverse. You will take care of all customers and reflect the community that we serve. So I would say this is not any business owner that wants to thrive and grow will recognize that we need to serve all of our communities around us and make sure that we are a place that is inclusive with our offer, our services, our talent, our employees, for all of our customers. And again, diversity attracts more diversity as well. So as our employee base reflects the community, then the community feels more welcome. So I would say any company that thinks they can opt out, I would say good luck, but this is something that you must feel passionate about.
It's funny, Gemma, I would have probably answered it not so eloquently as you have. I would have said to Bill, if there is no future for a company who doesn't have this as part of every living, breathing thing that they're doing. Again, I think the question that we should challenge ourselves on is that if this feels forced, right, then we're not doing something right. You know, it should feel challenging because your goals are set so high, but it shouldn't feel forced in the sense of, I really don't want to do this. I don't want, we have to, that's what our customers and expect. That's what employees expect. So for you to have a future, this needs to be a part of everything that you're doing.
Another hot topic in 2021 was the return to the office after a year and a half of working remotely. We talked with PwC's Sushil Ahuja and Elizabeth Yates for their perspectives on how companies should be thinking about their office policies to retain great talent in the midst of a labor shortage.
Yeah, I think it's a really important time for every company, though, because I know people are like, hey, we're working really hard. We open the doors and we decide who comes back and who doesn't. But this is actually really important because the war for talent, like Elizabeth was saying, people are changing jobs, right? They're demanding, you know, remote work. It's hard to establish loyalty and your culture in this remote work. This is actually how if you get your work, your hybrid strategy right or wrong, is actually going to help define, you know, who you are as a company. Yeah. And you may lose talent pretty quickly if you're not flexible to this old idea of, hey, my culture is when I see people, right? I have a very in-person type culture. You know, employees need to get flexible because those days are changing. And if you don't change, you're not going to have the right talent. So it's actually really important in my mind to get this right.
And I think it's actually an opportunity. And I have a lot of clients who said, there's always been a war for talent. I don't think there's ever not been a war for talent. But then people had it if you were in the greatest location. Well, if you now say, hey, we're going to have a remote workforce or components of it, that actually opens you up, at least nationally. It can open you up internationally.
Yeah.
And like, so you've just now been able to really increase your access to talent.
Right.
And in the same thing, and again, like I think a lot of it going back to your Bill, how you're talking to your employees is I really do think also how we talk to our employees and that openness and transparency. If we don't have an answer, we're going to tell you what we're thinking through, and what we tell you now might be different from what we decide in 3 months, 6 months, you know, 2 years out. I think it's that continual evaluation and evolution is what's really going to be important. And listening, this is such a great time for companies to really, like you always hear about, oh, the employee proposition or, oh, the employee experience. This is your time. Like, this is your time. Listen to your people And it is a balance. It has to be a balance of, you know, you have to have your business to succeed, but what do your people want? Find that balance, and you have such a wonderful opportunity right now. Don't blow it.
And there you have it. In every difficult situation lies a great opportunity. We hope you've enjoyed listening to these episodes and more throughout the year. And thank you for spending your time with us. We wish you a very happy and prosperous holiday season. We ask that you stay safe, that you be well, and we'll see you next year. I'm Bill Thorne. This is Retail Gets Real. Thanks for listening.